Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, talking some college football. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in friend of the show, Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. Nicole, how are you? What's going on?
I'm hanging in there. It is somehow at the same time in college football, I believe it's like week 8 and now also week 1. And
that's
also
right.
Maybe week negative 2 if we want to get really specific here.
It's a pretty crazy time, no question about it. And Nicole, the Big Ten scheduled to begin play this weekend. It's been an interesting journey to get to this point, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes, especially with, you know, no fans being in attendance, the stipulations in place even in order to play in the Big Ten. I guess what's your opinion of Big Ten football getting started this weekend in the college football landscape?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously I'm excited. I think we all are. I think it's great that, you know, they were able to figure out a way to get there from a testing standpoint just by coming back in the fall. And really just, you know, even with the Pac-12 and when we do this again in a couple of weeks and they have a shorter season and we all focus on that, this is about getting all back on the same calendar. And I think that is really just going to be so helpful, especially think about all those conversations we had about, like, oh, if you have a spring season, what does that mean for fall 2021, right? Like, we don't have to have those conversations anymore. And the Big Ten is putting itself in a position where it's champion. As long as it gets enough games in to really be in the same ballpark as the champions from the other leagues, it should have a chance to make the college football playoffs. So obviously there's no bye week, there's going to be no fans, all that stuff's going to be weird. But really, like, the main things about getting back on the same calendar as everyone else, and again, putting your champion in a position where they should be able to have a shot at the playoffs, like, those are two very, very big things, and the Big Ten's accomplished them.
All right, listen, I need you to help me, Nicole. On bye weeks.
Don't listen to him, Nicole. It's a ridiculous take he's about to throw it at you.
No, this is true.
Do you not call them bye weeks?
Yeah, the bye is something that's in a tournament. They are off or idle weeks. Can you join me in this,
Nicole,
please? We're trying to change the world here.
Nicole, we have literally looked this up in the dictionary. He is dead wrong. Don't let him talk to you about this.
No, here's the problem. That is technically our policy for writing as well, because for the same reason I'm not allowed to write bye weeks, but I can still say it on the radio. So I'm calling it a bye week.
That's
anyway.
Right.
Wait. So our policy at The Athletic is we can't write
you
bye?
You don't even know the policy?
No.
That's actually exciting.
It's idle week or off week.
All right. See, I feel even better about things. Okay. Well, good.
But I don't like that policy.
No.
Yeah, Joe, you should read your policy.
Yeah, you didn't even know the policy,
on
Joe.
A crusade about bye weeks, buddy.
Well, I actually even feel better because it is in the dictionary now, which is weird. But the dictionary, you know, they keep adding. I mean, what's the thing they just changed something? Oh, like less than, right? And fewer?
I don't know.
Come on. Like, we are letting things erode.
Bad.
Yeah, we got to.
That was a bad one.
So this is my quest, but we'll press forward. On the Big Ten, Nicole, you just mentioned it. You know, there's a certain number. I don't know what it is. To me, it's like there's like 3 games a year anyway that matter to the playoff committee. So, like, if Ohio State comes out and just destroys the best teams they play and look like we think they will, I think they're probably fine. But, I mean, do you think we're going to – I mean, I look at the Big Ten standards, and I look at what's happened in the SEC now. I've got to think a lot of Big Ten games are going to be in jeopardy just because it's such a high standard of 5% of your roster or more, and then you can't play, right?
Yeah, I do think there's a lot of concerns about that, and I think it's reasonable. The standards are pretty strict. We also know that players, if they test positive, they're going to be out for a minimum of 21 days, which is a lot longer than everybody else. Because again, you think about how the Big Ten had to, you know, compromise to get to the point of returning. You know, there were 11 university presidents that were concerned about, you know, long-term health risks and issues that we don't know yet about. So they added that extra time to do more cardiac screening and to make sure that those athletes are, that it's safe for them to return to practice and competition. Imagine a star player testing positive, missing 21 days. That's a lot longer than we've seen players miss in the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12. So that's obviously also something to keep an eye on. But again, you're thinking, and this is the same thinking in the Pac-12, that with daily antigen testing, you're really cutting down on contact tracing, because if you're catching positives earlier, then it's not like you're, because so here's the thing, PCR tests, the gold standard, but what happens if you're only testing a couple days a week is you test positive, and then, okay, who have you been around for the last few days? Instead of with the daily antigen testing, okay, we found a positive, so it's a shorter period of time of people that you've been in close contact with. So it's, the idea is there's less people getting swept up in the net of a contact tracing, close contact, because you're identifying it sooner. So that is the flip side of that, where, you know, hopefully you're not going to be in a situation, and again, you wouldn't be able to play because of the positivity rate issues too. But let's say, remember Georgia Southern played a game where it was like 33 players are out and they're still playing. Like, you're not going to get in those situations where you're going to have like a dozen, 20 players caught up in contact tracing, or you shouldn't at least, because the point of daily testing is, okay, you're going to have positives, we'll catch them, but they're not going to turn into outbreaks.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Nicole, you've got a very interesting piece on The Athletic, basically detailing what it's like to try to salvage, I guess, some sort of home field advantage, whatever that looks like in today's world, and use the artificial crowd noise as well. What have you made of the way broadcasts have used those crowd noises, and what's been your takeaway from teams and broadcasts on how that process has gone down in a strange college football season so far?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, you know, anything is really replicating a home field advantage. And talking with different announcers, including Joel Klatt, he said this a few times, like, they covered a fair amount of upsets on the road because you just don't have that energy, even with a smaller crowd, even when you have fans there. But I basically focused on essentially what we're going to see out of the Big Ten, because there's no fans allowed in any of those home stadiums. But really when there's none, and I think, you know, you have these ambient crowd noise background tracks, a lot of them are coming from Madden. And so, you know, a lot of times when you're watching a game on TV, that's what you're hearing, what they're piping in the stadium. And I think, you know, I think for the most part, you know, watching these games on TV, it feels pretty normal. And, you know, yeah, you may cut away, you might see cardboard cutouts or whatever, but, you know, I do think the idea is to get used to this new normal, to have some background noise. And the people I was talking to are the ones who, like, actually get to press the buttons to make it, like, okay, they had a big first down. It's like, ooh, like, press, like, you know, crowd swell loud, you know, like, make it a little bit louder. So that even for the players, even if it's not normal, it, you know, at least sounds a little bit like a game atmosphere. You know, but certainly I'm sure, and you know, Joe, I know you've covered some games in person. I mean, you know, it's a lot more like a scrimmage feel than it is a normal game, but they're trying everything. And I think, you know, with the Big Ten, we're going to see, you know, the same types of efforts and you know, efforts into hype videos and you know, Boston College was walking me through some of their messages from family members that they recorded before the season. They're also doing something with some screens in the tunnel where, like, I think it's basically Zoom where, like, the family members can see their sons and brothers, like, run out of the tunnel. Like, little things to try to, I don't know, just make it a better experience for the players themselves. And people are going to have to get creative, because otherwise you're just kind of giving up, right? And you're just saying, like, okay, well, it's a wash. These all feel like scrimmages. Instead, you know, people are going to try to get creative to try to make it a better experience, even though they know it's not going to be anything like a regular game. And I think a lot of these efforts, you know, are happening even when it's like, you know, 10% of the stadium is full, 20% of the stadium. You're still thinking about noise. You're still thinking about, you know, making sure the fight song is queued up and things that normally happen. And even some of the marketing folks I talked to, you know, even those traditions like, you know, if you win a game and you go over to the student section, sing your alma mater, like some of these teams are still doing those things even in empty stadiums, because again, like, what else are you going to do, right? You've got to try to come up with something that makes it feel like a new normal.
Yeah, I hope the Big Ten button pushers are better than the Minnesota Vikings person who was like putting huge cheers at like punt fair catches, but you know, trial and error a little bit there. Hey, Jeff Brohm, Nicole. So he's trying to, he has tested positive. He cannot coach Purdue's opener. He's trying to get clearance to have some sort of, you know, impact on the game. And I think this is something that's certainly going to be relevant to probably a lot of coaches before the season's over. I was certain that Nick Saban was going to have like like a shock thing on Sarkisian if he, you know, like if he was going to like go for it on fourth down or something, you know, from his home. But where do you think this is going? Do you think like we're going to see these coaches be allowed to have input during these games?
So, I mean, honestly, no. I think that these, you know, as much as it makes sense to all of us and we understand the frustration of these coaches, I mean, these technically were things that they looked at. The oversight committee, the rules committee, like people looked at this in the summer because if you think about it, we all knew and all of these coaching staff like had time to figure out, okay, who's going to be my designated, like, you know, acting head coach. Like they went through all of those plans. So everyone knew this was going to happen, but the rules in place because, you know, competitive advantage, disadvantage, you know, if someone has technology and is, you know, kind of communicating with a sideline, what Jeff Brom's asking for is like a phone call into the coach's box. If you're watching the game on TV, you know, there's a couple second delays anyway, so it's not really like you could call a play based on something he sees. So that's the thinking there. But again, I think, you know, even if you wanted to allow that, that would have already been the rule. Because these folks knew that this was going to happen. It's just kind of interesting because, again, I think it's like what you guys just said, like it's going to keep happening. But it's almost like these coaches like don't pay attention when another coach misses. And it's like, right. Me, it's like, wait, no, I need to be involved. Like, let me call something. Let me communicate with my coaches, have some control. So ultimately I would be surprised if something like this passes, or like if they grant this, waiver, or whatever the technical request is, the appeal, I don't know exactly what it is, but again, like I understand the sentiment and these are coaches that love to have control over things and they don't. But I do think if they were going to make some sort of exception and, you know, kind of create some sort of system for head coaches that were unavailable, they would have already done that. So that's kind of why I would be surprised if you know, Jeff Brom's able to even just call into the coach's box.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Nicole, appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Nicole.
Absolutely. And going to be interesting to see the Big Ten as they begin play this week. Like you said, Joe, the standard's very high in order to play a game this week. And we saw yesterday, I think in Michigan, the students basically got a stay-at-home order
at
the University of Michigan campus. Now, that's not necessarily going to affect the football team, but just kind of shows you the sign of the times and the struggles that potentially could be on the horizon for the Big Ten.
Yeah, they got a stay-at-home order for Nicole's alma mater, the University of Michigan. But, yeah that football team, that's probably the best game. Pretty looking forward to that game. They will carry on. They will go on to Minnesota, and it's Minnesota-Michigan. Pretty good little battle for the brown jug Saturday night.
So how excited are we for Big Ten football? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Can Ohio State do enough at this point in the season to secure their spot in the college football playoff? That's coming up next. But first, make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the San Francisco 49ers taking on Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.